The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think I said this earlier in the summer. I think it stays the same. We'll either move James for a player of a caliber that, you know, puts us helps our championship contention, or for draft picks and things like that that will allow us to in short order go get a player like that. Short of that, it will continue as long as that takes.
A lot of folks ducking that smoke right now. they want to be Tarzan on paper. Yeah. Don't sell me the game that this is what I'm going to get, but then when I turn on the TV, I don't get that. I don't like that. Give me that. If B playing the Joker, I want to see B versus the Joker, all right? I want to see that. And he goes and get it, right? I love it. I love the matchup, because I want to see it.
Yeah. That's what I want to see. That's why I stayed up. I want to see that.
All right, welcome to Brother From Another. We got Ashley Nicole Moss in the building today. What's up, Ashley? How you doing?
What's up? How are you? I'm good. The Cowboys won last weekend. We're going into a tough game Sunday night, so it's better to go into a tough game with a win than a loss.
They had a really tough game. They had a really tough game against a great opponent on Sunday. Tough game. Winning by 35 against the Patriots, who are now 1-3. So we'll talk about the Cowboys later. As you have correctly put in your feed, that the real test is coming up. This is where we find out who you
for
are.
Sure.
Not against the Mac Jones and his 74 mile per hour fastball throwing a ball across the field. No, we got the real test. The real test is San Francisco. But the real test for the 76ers is, who are you going to be? Because those two voices you heard off the top, the first one is Daryl Morey, the chief basketball. Everybody's got a different title these days, general manager, president of basketball operations. He's the one in charge in Philadelphia. And Daryl Morey is talking about, of course, you guessed it, James Harden and how they're going to deal with James Harden. Harden showed up today for the Sixers, participated in training camp, but Harden's also the guy who called Daryl Morey a liar, also the guy who said he would not be a part of an organization that has Daryl Morey atop the masthead. So we'll see what happens there. And then you heard Deion Sanders, actually, Coach Prime, talking to the Sixers, and yet another team coming to the mountain to listen to the Oracle, dispense sports wisdom. And so Prime Time is there talking to the Sixers, trying to get them excited. But I think they need – see, the Sixers need more than talk. So whether it's Daryl Morey talking, I've heard that before, as entertaining as Coach Prime's speeches are, I've heard those before. They need to put something together that makes us believe – I'm not going to speak for you. I'm going to say it makes me believe that they're just not – in the parlance of Philly, that this John is just not fake. And this John ain't it. And I just never take them seriously. I never take Philadelphia seriously. How about you? I don't even look at them. I'm starting with them because I'm so disgusted with the Sixers and how they've done business the past couple of years. I don't even think they belong in the championship conversation. What do you think?
I think that you have to take them seriously only because when you have Joel Embiid, you have to take them somewhat seriously. Like, it's not like we're just talking about some random bench player. We're talking Joel Embiid. So I think that while he's there, they're always in the conversation. They're always in the mix. So within that regard, I don't mind people holding on to that, because I am somebody who will still believe this is a playoff team. Even if they're not a top seed, this is not a play-in team. This is an actual playoff team.
That's right.
So with that said, that doesn't negate the fact that I'm torn on this James Harden situation, Michael. I'll tell you why.
How so? Because what are you torn about?
I'm somebody who believes that players should maneuver through the sports landscape the same way that the owners do, in doing what's best for their long-term interests. In the terms of owners, that means the business of basketball. That means winning. That means championships. I think that players should do the same. Now, that doesn't mean you just go ahead and abandon your contract a year in, but a Damian Lillard situation, you give what you can give, but if it's no longer working, this sense of loyalty to organizations, I don't believe players should be confined by that, because organizations, we have seen time and time again, don't have loyalty to players. With that said, if Daryl Morey did handshake agreement with James Harden, who left money on the table so that the 76ers could go get PJ Tucker and build a team that they could win with, Joel Embiid goes down, James Harden's next man up. That is your moment to show Daryl Morey and the Philadelphia 76ers that you are the guy who deserves X amount of money, whatever handshake agreement you guys made. This is why I deserve it. You don't go there and then half-ass your showing in the playoffs when the team needs you the most, and then still demand what you agreed on allegedly behind closed doors. So I'm all for players getting their money, but James Harden is, you want the superstar treatment. You want to be treated, you know, like a LeBron and like a KD, and be able to force your way into situations and be able to force your way with X amount of money. Last time I checked, you didn't win a ring in Houston. You forced your way to Brooklyn. You didn't win there. You forced your way to Philly. You didn't win there. And now Philadelphia is not going the way that you envisioned it would. Now you want to force your way to the Clippers. I don't really understand why he thinks that anybody in their right mind would want to trade for a player who throws his name around with no accolades, not really a performance or performances you can rely on consistently, and think that's worthy of demanding a trade and not showing up to training camp. And not, I don't understand the rationale, which is why I'm 50-50 on this.
Okay. All right. Well, let me get you closer to, let me see if I can help get you to 60-40.
Okay.
70-30. Okay. All right. 70-30. All right. Let's start with Daryl Morey. All right. So Daryl Morey, we love relationship examples, because relationship examples, they're fantastic. They apply.
This is true.
To all sorts of things. So you tell me, you know, I haven't been single for a while, so I don't know the current landscape as I hide my Tinder. All right. So what do people say? Do people still say when you're single, you draw the people who, yeah, they're drawn to whatever you're putting out there? You say, do people still say stuff like that? That the people drawn to you, you're kind of putting off that energy.
Project. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Do you believe that? First of all, do you believe that?
I think that energy is powerful. So yeah, I think that you attract the things that you lead with, for sure.
Okay. Well, Daryl Morey tends to find himself in some toxic relationships every other year. He's always involved in fights. Like, bro, it ain't always somebody else. Why are you always in these kind of relationships where private things go public and somebody's throwing clothes out the window? The neighbors are like, yo, the neighbors getting their popcorn, like, oh, here they go again. And we all sleeping at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. We hear y'all arguing. Okay. That's the kind of stuff that he's putting out. He had the same thing with Ben Simmons, where, I'm not going to trade Ben. We're not going to, it's got to be best for the Sixers. They're going back and forth. Simmons is showing up and then quitting. He's showing up so he won't get fined, but then, oh, my back, oh, my arm, oh, my leg, everything. In the same energy, Daryl Morey is talking about Ben Simmons. He trades Simmons for Harden, and he got the same stuff. So, look, James, everything you said about James Harden, 100%, I got no argument with you, Ashley. 100% accurate. Everything you said about Harden is true. But Daryl Morey is that dude, too. He's
for sure.
Like the Harden. He's the Harden of front office people. Like, if you're a team, maybe you don't want to trade for Harden. If you're a team, maybe you don't want to deal with Daryl Morey either. Always in fights. Always messy. Drama. Ugly. He said he said this. He said that. Always like some on the verge of a lawsuit. Hey, man. You want to run a team, or you want to be on like the real house husband of Philly? What you trying to do?
Trying to
win a championship?
I am not discrediting James Harden when he says Daryl Morey is a liar. I think that if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. And everybody can't be wrong about Daryl Morey, much to your point. And it's not even just Ben Simmons and James Harden. You remember the J.J. Redick situation. You remember Chris Paul situation in Houston when he said he wasn't going to be traded, and then he's traded to OKC. I mean, the list goes on. J.J. Redick was in New Orleans, but Chris Paul was with Daryl Morey in Houston. So we've seen this happened before. I'm not saying that James Harden is lying about Daryl Morey being a liar. I think he's a shady, 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 you know,
shady
dude. So I'm not taking that away. But what I am saying is that if James Harden went into the playoffs last season and he gave maximum effort, because you cannot say that he did. He gave us one good game. If you gave us maximum effort and you are now in this scenario, regardless, but that was the lasting memory that teams had, that the media had, that the fans had. People would say James did everything he needed to do to show you that he's deserving of X amount of money that you promised him. This is on Daryl Morey. But because he didn't do that, and because the lasting impression is him 6 points in this game, 5 points in this game, 10 points in this game, 12, just not looking interested in helping his team get to the next level, possibly, it's looking like here goes James Harden again. He doesn't want to work. He just wants to get traded. He's unhappy. Now he wants to be moved. He's expecting to be paid. But what did you do for Philly when it counted them? Now the storyline is the blame is more evenly dispersed than if he had just done his job. There'd be no way, shape, or form that you could blame anybody but Daryl Morey. And you can't.
And I would say, this. And on the other thing you said, you know, why would a team want him? Because they have their expectations in check. So if you're the Clippers, your best player clearly is Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard is healthy. Not only the best player on your team, one of the 10 best players in the NBA easily. So you got Kawhi Leonard, your best player. Your second best player is Paul George.
Right.
And you bring in James Harden. There are no expectations. He's not there to save you. You got a coach who knows. Who's you think he's there to save the Clippers?
Michael, what happens? Devil's advocate. Yes, he may not be there to save you if you have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George the entire season. But what do we know about the Clippers? At some point, two of them are going down. Then what happens? James Harden is now your number one guy. And can you depend on him to be that number one guy in and night out before they get back?
But not number one in spirit, not number one in, like, he becomes the best player, but you don't put, like, in other words, Houston put the weight of the organization on James Harden's shoulders, and Brooklyn distributed it three ways between Harden, Kyrie, and Durant, and Philadelphia was trying to split it up between Harden and Joel Embiid. Well, forget about three ways. You get maximum. You're the third guy, but maximum, sorry, you get about, you know, a 12% cut. We just know better. We know better. And on top of that, you know what Ty Lue has? Let's just be real. Ty Lue has a relationship with Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers got him into coaching. He played for Doc. He coached under Doc. And so you don't think Doc has told him, hey, man, if you go take James Harden, first of all, hey, take this book. It's thick. It's about 400 pages. You need to read this and know what to expect from James Harden, because he's a handful. And he cost
but
me my job.
Do you want to deal with that, though?
He cost Steve Michael? Nash his job, Silas his job.
But Michael, we're not talking about Phil Jackson. We're not talking about Phil Jackson here, who's going to make these guys go on, you know, these spiritual retreats so that they can tap into their inner killer. You know what I mean? He's a different kind of coach. Ty Lue is not going to do all that. So when you are given, or the possibility of being given, a player that's going to require so much extra attention and work to make sure that you can utilize him the way you need him. You're not trading him to OKC. You think he was bad in Houston? You think he was bad in Brooklyn? You're trading him to Los Angeles? That means that you don't only have to worry about what's happening on the court. You got to be able to wrangle him off the court. You got to make sure that all the intangibles are aligned perfectly. And you also got to worry about making sure that you're utilizing Kawhi smart so that he can play a whole season, that Paul George, like, why would anybody in their right mind do that for the possibility of maybe getting vintage James Harden throughout the season? Why would you
shelf
do that?
Life. Shelf life, because you just think, I just need to hold, I just need him for a year. Hey, this is not a long term. Hey, come on. Now back to relationships. Some relationships, you're trying to introduce them to the folks. You're thinking about marriage. You're thinking about long-term. Others, you just need them for whatever. Mind. Anyway.
So is this a Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce relationship?
Never mind. Let's talk about it. I want to do a split screen, though. Here's a contrast. We talk about a player who, you don't really know if he's engaged. You don't know if the pursuit of championships is what he really wants or something else. Let's compare that, James Harden, to what we hear, and it's worth the wait. Just listen, wait for it. Here's Giannis talking to Chris Haynes, and Haynes asked him, hey, Giannis, why don't you work out with other NBA players? Listen to Giannis' answer.
I don't know how to be fake. Mm-hmm. I cannot do this. And I feel like the moment I work out with players, then you have to, kind of maybe hang out with them later. Then when you play them, you have to talk before the game with them. And then after the game, you have to sit down and have another conversation with them. And then when you go to the family room, you see them again, you got to talk to them. And then when you see them in the post, you want to put your shoulder into their chest. You cannot do it because they might text after the game, come on, guys, what you doing? I'm like, I can't play the game like that. I do not work out with people that play in the NBA right now. That's what so that is the two different things. If you're not in the NBA, I have no problem working out with you. You know, if you're in the NBA and I'm going to see you in the season, and as I said, when I get to the city, I have to text you to hang out, to come to dinner.
Yeah.
And after dinner, I don't know what might be. And then the next day, I have to see you before the pregame, and then I have to see you after the game. And then we have to. I'm not. I don't even do that with my wife, man. I don't even take my wife to date. I'm not going to take you on a date. What? No.
Fine, that's a signal for divorce, sir.
He said, I don't take my wife on a date. I'm not going to take you on a date. But his point, what I love, and I want you to take it from here, what I love in the beginning of that clip, he says, you're the reason I'm trying to win a championship. Like, you're the reason I don't have a championship. I'm trying to get through you. Why am I trying to work out? Why the hell am I trying to work out with you? And I'm trying to get through you to get to a title. What did you think of what Giannis had to say about the coziness of those who tend to work out together?
I mean, it's not far-fetched. I mean, Tom Brady was recently at a conference, and he spoke about this, about how he doesn't understand how guys can hang out with each other and then go, hang out with each other as competition, because it is your competition when you guys are within the same sport, and then kill the competition come game day. Like, he never understood that. He's never been like that. And we've heard that from other guys like Jordan and guys like that their relationships with their peers really didn't, form until much into retirement or towards the end of their careers. But I mean, we've also seen the other side of this. LeBron's been friendly with a bunch of guys in the league. He's won multiple championships. The same with Steph Curry, the same with Kevin Durant. So it's not like it's not possible to do both. I think for some guys, maybe it's just the inability to kind of switch it off in their head. I think that some guys are able to compartmentalize and say, yeah, I just went to dinner with Jimmy Butler, but now I got to play against him. And I'm definitely going to make sure his life's living hell and put him in the torture chamber. And some guys may find that a little bit harder to do because they just had a really nice dinner the night before. And now I got to go ahead and smoke you in this game. So I think it's an individual thing, but we've seen it work on both sides. I don't think it's impossible to be friendly and to, kill him. Matter of fact, Michael, don't you go harder on your family members and your friends in games? Like when you're playing spades with your family versus strangers, don't you trash talk a little more with the people you actually know than the people you don't know? Because you know their trigger points. You know how to get under their skin. You know their weak spots. You know their strong suits. I mean.
Yeah. But see, that's different. See, like friendly and the whole thing, the whole friendly thing, and we cool. We're family. We're figuratively or literally, we're family.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't do certain things. All right. Jordan, who was probably the meanest player I've ever seen, who's the meanest, like just really wanted to just take you out at all times and had no sympathy for the competition. You know what he used to do? He used to go out to dinner in season with Joe Dumars. The bad boy Pistons, the whole Jordan rules Pistons, Dumars and Jordan were cool to the point where Isaiah said to Dumars, I don't think you really invested in winning championships because you're friendly with Jordan. And Dumars thought that was unfair, but we know the whole backstory. Isaiah was just saying that because he hated Jordan and Jordan hated him. And I say hated. I think that's still active. But
yeah, I think they still actively dislike each other.
But one thing they didn't do. See, that's cool. Training. I'm with Giannis. It's impossible. You can't do both. I can't train with you. I can be friendly with you during the season. I can't train. No. Especially, okay. Think about this. All right, Ashley. Western Conference Finals. Lakers get swept by the Nuggets. And let's say, like, Jamal Murray and Austin Reeves work out together. No, y'all swept me. No, I'm not working out with you.
What if they're like Jimmy college Butler. Roommates if, and they're best friends from grade school or something?
I don't care. Okay, good. We're best friends. Hey, how's your family doing? How's your mom? Hey, tell her I said hello. All right, but we're not training. I'm not going to train because I'm trying to get by. I had a miserable summer. Why? Because of you and your team. I had a miserable summer. And can you imagine Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, who was at times it was like being ripped constantly by Jimmy Butler, then going to the offseason training with Jimmy Butler. Imagine that the training is in Miami and there's a whole Heat culture banner up in the gym and you up there training. No, I'm a Giannis.
But think about it this way, Michael. You're looking at it from a negative. Look at it from a different perspective. Say you are training with Jimmy Butler, right? Boston Celtics. Then come Eastern Conference Finals. It's Boston versus Miami again. You've been training with Jimmy all summer. He goes to his left. You know, I know this move. I saw this move when we were training. I know exactly what he's going to do. I'm ready this time. Like sometimes that's the best way to scope the competition is to befriend the competition. You guys are not thinking long game here. You're not thinking long term. Think about it.
I like
the art of war.
I think about it. Art of war. Sun Tzu. Art of war. But I'll tell you this. I like what Giannis said. If you don't play in the NBA, I'm cool. Look, I just go and meet with Olajuwon. Let's just tell you, MVP, Finals MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, got great post moves, and not somebody who's going to keep me from a championship. Like, I'm going to sign up with Camp Olajuwon. I'll stay for 3 weeks.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thank you very much.
Jack, what was the feeling leaving that locker room last January against those guys?
I mean, it's obvious. I mean, we're so far past that, to be honest with you, but that's obvious. I mean, you just want to piss me off going in this week, and I appreciate that. I do, actually. I do. Yeah, appreciate that. Appreciate that.
They are right now probably the most likely team to go in the Super Bowl. But in order for them to get there, they've got to go by us, hopefully two times, if that's the way it falls in the playoffs. And we're in the playoffs, of course. But the bottom line is that you're playing the best. This is a certainly you don't need the game to tell you that you're playing the best. But you need the game to show you how you stack up against the best.
Well, you recognize both of those voices. You recognize the voices of Dak Prescott and Jerry Jones of the Cowboys. Who are they talking about? Mike Jones? They are talking about the San Francisco 49ers. That's the game. The last time we saw the Cowboys and Niners, the Niners were at a level above the Cowboys, and just an image I'll never be able to get out of my head for the rest of my life is Ezekiel Elliott, former Cowboys running back, playing center, my last play of the game, center, and getting bowled on. And getting bowled.
So wrong.
Oh, wow. I mean, come on, Ashley. Ashley, come on now. Come on, come on. You know,
I have no
you know
recollection of what you're referring to, Michael.
Oh,
I
do.
I can't recall. Sorry.
I'm going to send it to you. But, Mike, you've seen both of these teams so far this season. How do you think this is going to play out? And is it everything that we're making it out to be? It's only early October.
No, it's early October, but it still has huge implications on basically, like Jerry said, it's a good measuring stick for the Cowboys. We know from what we've seen, the 49ers are basically the elite team in the NFC. They and the Eagles are the only two teams that are unbeaten in the whole entire league. The 49ers are so deep. They're so talented on both sides of the ball. They're top 10 offense and defense. I think maybe even top 5 on both of those. And so you've got the Eagles who are a team that are really talented, and the Cowboys are going to see them. So they want to see how they stack up against the 49ers. for the future, see how they stack up against them, because they're going to have some tough matchups coming up here. You want to get a win here. You want to show that you are a talented team, that you belong on this level. But the thing is like, man, the Arizona Cardinals showed that the Cowboys are susceptible against the run. You can run the ball on them, even though they're really great as far as getting after quarterbacks. And what do the 49ers do well? Run the football and then run the play action passing attack. And if the Cardinals can rack up yards of plays of 69 and 40 something and 20 something of big plays against the Cowboys, then the 49ers should be able to as well. So it should be a good matchup, but I think that the strengths of the 49ers set them up to be able to do to Dallas similar and maybe even better than what we saw the Cardinals do.
Points were made. Points were made.
Points
Listen,
were made.
I said this, you know, I said it right there, my lower third right here. This is the biggest test Dallas has had to face this season. I think the Arizona game was a fluke on Dallas's part more than it was a fluke on Arizona's part. I think Arizona has good aspects to their game, but I think overall the Cowboys should have won that game. They should be entering this game right now against the 49ers as another unbeaten team. It should be two unbeaten teams going at each other. It's not the case because the Dallas Cowboys did not play their game. They did not go ahead and play up to their strong suits. Play calling was a little bit suspect as well. I think the biggest difference going into this 49ers game is that you can't make those same mistakes. You can't make those same mistakes because, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, the 49ers will capitalize on them. Going into that Cardinals game, it was hit or miss. You didn't know what kind of Cardinals team you were going to get. Yes, like I said, they have strong suits, but you kind of also play with your food a little bit. This time around, you can't do that. Now, I will say this is going to be the biggest test for the Dallas Cowboys. Everybody wants to go ahead and diminish what the Cowboys have done thus far. The wins, oh, they didn't really win. The defense won this one. This person won that one. This wasn't that good of a team. You beat the 49ers. You go ahead and shut all of that down. This is one of the two last unbeaten teams in the NFL. This is a team that a lot of people have going all of the way. They're prime. They're ready to go. And if you can take them down, you go ahead and shut all that noise down that the Dallas Cowboys, both offensively, defensively, and special teams, are a team to beat regardless of who is in front of them on the other side of the line. So it's a big game from that standpoint.
Yeah, I don't understand. It is a big game. I don't understand. And they got lucky. That Patriots game, I'm watching that. Unfortunately, I watched the whole game. And late in the game, I think at the point it's 31-3. And you know who's in the game, Mike Jones? Dak Prescott still in the game.
Right.
The Patriots couldn't score 15 points if they were by themselves on a field in Frisco, Texas. They couldn't score 15 points. So they're at that point, they're down by 28. And Dak Prescott still in the game. Micah Parsons, who left the game earlier,
right,
comes back in the game and still in there. So I don't understand that. They're fortunate that both of these guys are going to be available to play against the Niners. But I want to ask you, Mike, I don't know if you do any kind of power rankings. Who you got? If you had to really break it down, number one team in the NFC, I'm going with Philly because I'm a little hateful. And I'm just tired of the San Francisco narrative. I hate the story that they tell themselves. So I'm a San Francisco hater. That's what I'm just going to tell you. Put all my cards out there. I'm a San Francisco hater. I got Philly. PFT got the Niners. I got Philly 1. And then Niners probably 4 or 5. How about you?
4 or 5.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the Chiefs, okay. The Bills, the boys, because the Niners haven't played anybody either.
Okay, but look at what the Niners have across the board, I mean, they don't show any weaknesses right now. Now, okay, this is a temporary power ranking. It changes week
to week. So
they're
your one?
Do I feel like,
your one?
For right now, they are. Do I feel like the Eagles could wind up being that? Yes, I've seen the Eagles the last 3 weeks. The Eagles have a lot. They haven't even put it all together, and they're still racking up 400 yards of offensive game, 200 rushing yards. We haven't seen that passing attack from Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert. We haven't seen it just be a well-oiled machine. We've seen them in spurts. They've had some firework, but they've been up and down. We also saw their defense last week. Washington was able to run on them. They almost lost that game right there. So because of the inconsistencies and because of Philadelphia struggling in the red zone, you know, I think there's something like 45% in the red zone where last year they were in the 60s. Because of that, I can't put the Eagles up there at number one. But when you look at the 49ers, right now, they haven't shown weaknesses. My one question, though, is what happens when they get into a game and Brock Purdy has to throw the football to bring them back into a game? So far, he's only, I think, attempted 30 passes in one game this season. Everything else, they keep him in the 25 range. Yeah. They run the ball. They rely on their defense. But my question is, okay, what happens when they do fall behind? If they do, and you need him to throw you back into a game, I just don't know yet.
Great question.
And they haven't. We haven't been in that situation, so they can't answer it. But for right now, I think that they have the least amount of warts or question marks compared to the inconsistencies of the Eagles, even the inconsistencies that we see with the Kansas City Chiefs. But again, obviously, those are all elite teams there.
The only thing that I dislike about these conversations is that looking, and while you guys were talking, I was looking up the Eagles, you know, schedule thus far, and then looking up the 49ers schedule thus far. And in terms of competition and quality of competition, it's not much far, it's not far off from what Dallas has faced, right? Except
That's right.
The 49ers and with the Eagles.
Lost, so can you stop being a fangirl? Dallas lost.
Okay,
so they're not
yes,
up there.
Okay. They lost the Arizona game, but even when they had those first two wins before Arizona even came into the picture, before they were even a game that they were about to lose or lost, whatever, however you want to word it, the narrative was constantly the 49ers look really good. The Eagles look really good. Oh, the Cowboys, they played the Giants, they played the Jets. What? How is that any different than the first two games of the seasons for the other two teams that are ranked above us right now in the power rankings, taking Arizona out of the picture because, again, that was a weird game. I feel like with the Dallas Cowboys.
Is that a blue Cowboys jacket she's got on? We can't tell.
This is timeout. This is Tommy Hilfiger. This is not a Dallas Cowboy. It's a coincidence.
It's a collab.
I'm just very confused about the moving goalposts in terms of standard. And then even with the Patriots game last week, right? Everybody wants to focus on, well, these were scored by the defense and this was special teams. Are they not one unit? Are they not one team? Why is it that when the Cowboys go ahead and win a game against a team that is below them in competition, and I say that based on roster, based on expectations, not trying to, you know, ruffle any feathers, but below them in competition, there's all these excuses on why that win doesn't count. But when the Eagles do it, or when the 49ers do it, it's, oh, this is a Super Bowl team. This team is primed to go. This team is right. It's a moving goalpost that I've always had a problem with, and you've seen it more than ever before this season, I feel like, because those schedules are very similar in terms of competition. Very similar.
What do you say, Mike?
I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
No,
I didn't give the Cowboys a lot of praise those first 2 weeks because their defense was off to a historic start.
You know,
I think only two other teams had given up only 10 points in two games while scoring 70 points. That was great. But when you lose to a team like the Arizona Cardinals, we are going to look at you sideways. Now, I will say they were going against Jonathan Gannon, who used to be the Eagles defensive coordinator. And so he knows Dallas very well and knew, you know, how to go up against them. But still, hey, like you said yourself, that's a game they should have won. And because they did not win, we can't have them up there because we don't know. But I agree with you. Like you said, if they win this week against San Francisco, then okay, you can't put any asterisks. You can't put any qualifiers. It's, hey, Dallas is serious. They're legit. And they belong in the conversation for front runners for the Super Bowl, if they do.
Oh, I can't wait. I really can't wait. And Mike, I think the point you made is an excellent one. I don't hear a lot of people talking about Purdy this way.
But
what happens when they get behind? Because look, he's, and I guess you can't invent a problem when there are no problems. Brock Purdy has had a great start to his career. The only thing that really sidelined him was an injury. I mean, everything worked out well. He had a great, remember the start of his career, it just so happened he didn't play any games outside of the Pacific time zone. His first game outside of the Pacific was like late in the year. And then you know, he got hurt in Philadelphia, so we really don't know. I'd say the only thing, Mike, is Purdy gets the benefit that Dak doesn't. So if you had Dak Purdy, how many games did he play? 10 in his career? 11?
Yeah, as far as the regular season, yeah.
Okay, so he's not even played 17 games in his entire career. If you take a quarterback and you say, and you just condense it and say, this quarterback is this based on 11 or 12 games, you've got an incomplete sample size. And so I feel like a lot of people think, if you ask most NFL fans, they say, who you got, Purdy or Dak? They'd say Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say incomplete. I don't know. I don't think it's a fair question because I still don't know. I'm not hating in this case. I'm a hater in general for San Francisco. But in this case, I'm not hating. I'm just saying I don't have – it's the sample size is too small to make that argument. What do you think?
No, I agree with you. Again, we have to see him, you know, when he gets punched in the mouth, then what does he do? We've seen Dak Prescott. We've seen him come up short. We've seen him have big times. We've seen him make a lot of plays. We've seen him throw a lot of interceptions. So we know everything he is. We don't know a lot about Brock Purdy. And, you know, when I was asking people coming into the season, talent evaluators from other teams, they said, dude, there's a lot of plays that he left out there on the field last year that they, could have had, you know, more out of him, even though that they were able to win games. And they were able to win those games despite those plays that he left on the field because they have a strong run game, because they have a dynamic defense. And look, they don't need him to be Superman. They're not asking him to. They're just asking him to run the system. He's not doing anything, putting on a cape or anything. Mm-hmm. He's distributing the ball. He's hitting the spots that he needs to. He's running the play action boot just so, and letting the defense give him short field position and extra possessions and things like that. That is what they want from him, and he's doing it perfectly. But again, until I see him come from behind and win a shootout with Patrick Mahomes or even Jalen Hurts even or somebody, if I see him win a shootout, then I'll be like, oh, yeah, this guy. But right now I'm like, oh, he's good for what Kyle Shanahan wants to do. I'm not crowning him anything.
Yeah, I think I agree with both of you on that. I think, you know, this talk of, oh, he's the new franchise guy. He's the guy of the future for the 49ers. I think that everybody fails to recognize or remember, or selectively remember, I guess. The 49ers are known for this plug-and-play situation with their quarterback. You can put basically anybody who's capable of throwing a football and who has any some sort of experience as an NFL quarterback into this system, and they will garner some level of success. That is the way that this system is designed. You saw it with Jimmy. You saw it with Jimmy Garoppolo. Is Jimmy Garoppolo Tom Brady? No, but in certain games, it looked like he was, just because this is what the team does. This is how they function. If Trey Lance, you know, ever got a full opportunity to go ahead and play in this offense, you'd probably see similar results. So I don't think that Brock Purdy is anything extraordinary. I think that he's good. I think that he's decent. Is he the second coming of Joe Montana? No. I just think that the system that he is in requires just enough from him, but not too much that you put him in a situation where he's going to screw the team out of a win. And I think those are two very different things.
All right. Well, Mike Jones, always good to check in with you, brother, and hear from you. I can't wait until we talk about San Francisco and Dallas.
The Cowboys beat in San Francisco.
Ashley, I hope you're around now. I hope you're around.
listen. For that show, I'm wearing a Dak Prescott jersey. Just know that.
Even if they lose. Even if they lose, you better wear it if they lose too.
For sure. I have no shame.
Okay. For sure. All right, there it is. It's right there. We got it on the record. Accountability. Ashley Nicole Moss says, for sure. End quote.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clear skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Dietz & Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz & Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I have no feelings. I've been a Cowboys fan my whole life.
It was just a lot of, like, the talking and all the Lakers. That, like, it was just so much of that going on. Like, all right, we get it, y'all won. But, you know, I think, you know, me and Bron had some conversations, like, we can't wait. All the little talking that had been going around all summer, you know, we
y'all heard ready. It?
Yeah. And I'm not on social media and I heard it. So.
I love it. Like,
gotta get there
the
first, AD.
Exactly. I love the headline. Anthony Davis sends warning to Nuggets ahead of season. There's no warning. Like, there's no warning. Like, actually, it's pretty simple. So the Nuggets.
It's such a one-sided beef. It's hilarious.
That's what I'm saying. Like, first of all, it wasn't a seven-game series. Nor was it six, nor was it five. It was a four game. They swept y'all. They won on your court. They celebrated champagne in Staples, crypto.com, excuse me, crypto.com arena. You got champagne there. They were excited. They were like, oh, great. We win. We represent Denver, but we get to celebrate in Los Angeles. It's a win-win. We don't have to celebrate in our hometown.
You ever see that Waka Flocka meme where he's just like, okay. Like, I just envision, like, Jokic reading this or hearing this and AD going, me and Bron had some conversations. And he's like, okay. So, like, I get my ring on opening day. What do you get? Like,
yeah. What are y'all going to talk about? What's there to, there's really nothing to talk about. Now the Nuggets, I've enjoyed them. I will enjoy them because they talk trash, like they talk trash, and it starts with their head coach. Michael Malone talks trash. He was talking trash during the season, during the playoffs, like after he was talking after like game two about the Lakers. At the parade, dude's drunk and he's like, y'all ready to win it again? Y'all ready to win again? He's talking about, he goes on Pat McAfee and is like, yeah, I might retire after winning this championship. A direct shot at LeBron. So, look, I think the point is, Ashley, when your team wins, you do whatever you want. When your team wins, you go talk trash. Hey, imagine this. I'm just going to throw this out. I know this seems like fiction. Like, imagine if the Knicks ever won something.
Like, okay, what you're not going to do is throw fiction around because we're close. It's going to happen. I'm telling you right now, Michael, the Knicks win a championship. When the Knicks win a championship, I'm going to be bragging about that until I die because I've waited my entire life to see that.
Yes,
I'm going
to
be so drunk at that parade that you might see me on the 6 o'clock news. Like, it is going to be a problem, and I will make no apologies for it. None.
I know. Wasn't it on Brother from Another that you once said if the Knicks win a series, there was going to be nudity through the streets.
I would go streaking down 7th Avenue for sure. Yeah.
And that was just for,
I stand by that. Was just, I stand by that.
And that was just a first round. And that was just a first round series. And you know, you already got
the
that.
Bar is so low.
But now I think you've upgraded since y'all won the first round last year.
Yeah.
You won the first round series. So now, you know what? Conference finals, NBA finals.
No. It's full blown. It's conference finals, full blown finals. We got into the second round. So yeah, the streaking is raising its expectation, but it's happening. I'm not saying it's not.
You just want to go streaking. I think that's what we're talking about here. But I will see. But hey, look, I look forward to it. Lakers, Nuggets, and the Nuggets, quiet as it's kept, the Nuggets could use this, even though the odds are not, it's not disrespectful. We got Milwaukee and Boston in the same conference, both plus 400.
Yeah.
And the Nuggets have the best chances. If you look at it this way, you can look at it this way and say the Nuggets have the best chance of coming out of the West, according to Vegas. But if you're Michael Malone and Jokic and Murray, you could say they think we are the third most likely team to win a championship. And we won it last year.
Which is insane as the reigning champs. Yeah. Like, we've always seen these standings.
They're disrespecting
the reigning champ is always top of the list. Like, I don't think we've ever seen, even like, I'm thinking back to like when the big three of Brooklyn was constructed, the reigning champ was still one. Brooklyn was right underneath them, over teams that went further in the playoffs, obviously, than they did. This is different. This is kind of disrespectful. No, I would be looking at this like, okay.
They'll use it. They'll use it. And plus, look, right now we have to say it. Until he falls off the throne, best player in basketball is Jokic. Jokic is the best player in basketball.
Is this true?
You have to say it. He's the best player in the game, and they won the championship last year. And they won it pretty convincingly. So you got to give Denver some love. Now, I don't know if you want to give Aaron Rodgers some love. There are parts of his comments that you might want to celebrate, and there are some parts of his comments that you might want to give him a rebuke. Here's Aaron Rodgers talking about Travis Kelce and talking about his comeback, perhaps this season.
There's some sentiment that there's some sort of moral victory out there that we hung with the, you know, with the champs, and that, you know, our defense played well, and you know, Pat didn't have a crazy game, and, you know, Mr. Pfizer, we kind of shut him down a little bit. He didn't have, you know, his, like, crazy impact game. Obviously, he had, you know, some yards and stuff, but I felt like for the most part, you know, we played really tough on defense, especially the last three quarters, and that was important for us. And there's nothing normal about how I'm attacking this rehab. There is common practices about 6 weeks in a boot, and I was in a shoe in like 13 days. Again, this is just my mindset, and I believe in the power of intention. I believe in prayer. I believe in the way that you, your mental status and power of will. I believe in making room for the miraculous to happen.
All right, so let's get, you have in your feed, Aaron Rodgers needs to grow up, a grow up Aaron. Why do you think Aaron Rodgers needs to grow up?
Mr. Pfizer, like, how old are we, bro? Like, Mr. Pfizer, like, that's just, we get it, ayahuasca, we get it, Mother Earth, we get it, breathe the air, don't take the pills, don't take the shot. Drink this concoction. I get it. Congratulations, Aaron. I'm happy for you. We know you're anti-medicine, modern medicine at least. We got it. Noted. It's like, I mean, the Mr. Pfizer shot, was that necessary? Like, what's the big deal with promoting, you know, a vaccine, a flu shot vaccine, a COVID, like when the winter months are, like, what's the problem? I'm putting that aside. I don't even care. I just, whatever.
Yeah.
Every time I start to like Aaron Rodgers, he does this. You know, The common practice is 6 weeks, and I was in it in 13 days. Like, dude, it's like, we get it.
Yeah.
You're better than the rest of us. Noted. Felt it. Got it. I write it down. You're better than us. You're smarter than us. You're stronger than us. You heal faster than us. You know more than us. Everything. I got it. I am not. We are not worthy.
And maybe, was he trying to be, okay, now let me just look at this thing. Was he trying to be funny, though? Was he trying to be funny with the Pfizer thing that you know, some people would be offended. But yeah, if you're anti-vaccine and all that, and he represents Pfizer because it's his whole wing, you know, that the people who complain about cancel culture, they hate cancel culture, but they try to cancel people. So, you know, they do the same thing. They complain about it, but they try to do it. So they're trying to cancel Travis Kelce because he represents Pfizer, and his girlfriend likes Bud Light, represents Bud Light, you know? Those people are angry about it. But do you think Aaron Rodgers is really angry? Was he just wanted to get that joke off? Maybe he wanted to get
the joke off. I think Aaron Rodgers needs to go back into the darkness retreat and kind of figure things out. Maybe he left too soon.
Mr. Pfizer.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Interesting. Beyonce, we got a world tour. $579 million, Ashley.
Whole lot of cash.
How do you explain it?
Listen, Beyonce is Beyonce. She is the standard. And we are all just trying to not only appreciate her greatness while we can continue to appreciate it, we are trying to harness just a small piece of her greatness. One of the greatest tours I've ever been. Already got my concert tickets. Let's go.
Wow. Thank you, Ashley. See y'all tomorrow.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.